All right. Okay, well, then I welcome everybody. I'm Jeff Silvestrini. I'm the vice chair of the regional council, and our chair, Bob Stevenson, is in Alaska on a fishing boat someplace. And, you know, we don't know if he's ever going to come back or not, you know, but he has promised us a fish fry repeatedly, and we need to hold him to it. So,
yes.
Anyway, I'd like to welcome everybody, and I guess that the first order of business is just I want to announce that pursuant to House Bill 5002, our chair, Bob Stevenson, has made a determination that meeting together would create a substantial risk to the health and safety of the members, other attendees, and staff, and therefore the council and other WFRC committees will continue to hold electronic meetings at without an anchor location. So then I think the next thing we should do, Andrew, would you read a roll call and just by way of introduction so we can confirm who's here?
I will. And I'm going to read the list as the people that are in attendance, so you do not need to say present. And I'll be skipping over our WFRC staff and just add them in the written minutes. Jeff Silvestrini, Lisa Wilson, Clint Smith, Ben Hewitt, Beth Holbrook, Carlton Christensen, Kristen Maurer, Greg Buxton, Helen Peters, Ivan Marrero, Jeff Scott, Joe Schoblum, Justin Smart, Kyler Brower, Mark Allen, Dirk Burton, Steve Van Maren, Rob Dolly, Robert Hale, Ron Bigelow, Ryan Beck, Ryan Perry, Sean Milne, Steve Call, and then Shane Scott, Shul Bishop, and other members of the public and staff. And we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you, Andrea. So then I guess the first matter of business is consideration of the minutes from our meeting held on May 28, 2020.
Mr. Chair, I would move approval of the minutes.
Thank you. Do we have a motion and second on approval of the minutes?
The second, I'm sorry.
Never.
Mayor,
thank
Mayor
you.
Burton.
Okay. So, all in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay, hearing none, then the minutes are unanimously approved. Thank you. And then we need to consider the financial statements and check registers for the council for May and June 2020 and the current budget expenditures. Sorry?
I missed the motion.
I missed the motion too. Did somebody make a motion?
Not yet.
Okay.
Mr.
So those were in our packet.
Okay. Mr. Chair, Clint Smith, I will make the motion to approve.
And this is Sean Milne, I'll second.
Okay, Andrew, did you get that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay, hearing none, then those are approved. So next, let's move on to our chair's report. Mr. Gruber.
So, well, thank you, Mr. Chair, for turning to me at this time. I also do want to note that since Andrea did the initial roll call, I've noticed that several other elected officials who have joined us, Mayor Jenny Wilson, Mayor Len Arvey, Mayor Troy Walker, Commissioner Lorraine Camallo, and Mayor Debbie Wynn, and I'm quite sure we've missed a few people. Thank you all so much for joining us today. And Mayor Silvestrini, thanks for turning to me for a little time to report to all of you on our activities and accomplishments for the past year. I wanna start by saying thank you. We are living in unprecedented times. And the degree of commitment and sacrifice that you all have shown in serving your communities is really remarkable and inspiring. Of course, the focus that you have at this point, that we all have, is on COVID, the public health issues, and the economic recession. But it wasn't that long ago that our focus as a region was on growth issues. And so now we really find ourselves in the situation that we have these twin challenges of recovering from COVID and managing growth as the fastest growing region in the country, still fastest growing state in the country. And so I just think that that makes it even more important that we collaborate together and plan for the future. And that really brings me to WFRC's mission. So I'm going to, let's see, where is it? Bear with me for just a moment as I find the thing I want to show you right here, which is our activities and accomplishments report. Are you seeing that on your screen? Yes, I'm seeing nods. Okay, terrific. So first, as I noted, our mission for WFRC is to build consensus and enhance quality of life by developing and implementing visions and plans for a well-functioning multimodal transportation system, livable communities, a strong economy, and healthy environment. And it's within and under that general mission that you as a council establish goals for us as an organization. You established 4 years for 4 goals for fiscal year 2020. And the point of this discussion here is to provide you a brief overview of our record in working towards those goals. I'm going to go over this briefly, but this document that we've put together here is on our website, and it provides lots of detail and reporting because we think it's important that there be accountability to you as a council and to the public about the activities that we've engaged in. So here we go. Goal number one that you put together a year ago: collaboratively advance the Wasatch Choice regional vision as a framework for integrating transportation, land use, and economic development to best address growth-related opportunities and challenges. Now, you all know this, of course, but we're a diverse mix of communities in our region. There's no one-size-fits-all to handling our growth issues, but certain issues are regional in nature: our economy, our mobility, our air quality. But each part of the region has to work to develop the approaches that best suit their needs, that best suit your needs. So we at WFRC are proud to have worked with all of you directly and to encourage collaboration across the region under that broad banner of the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision, which Mayor Dawn Ramsey, as part of the Regional Growth Committee report, will talk about some more as we get further into the meeting here. We also don't only think about the regional level, but we also get down to the community level and provide support to you and resources through the Economic Development District, Community Development Block Grant Program, and the Transportation and Land Use Connection, or TLC, which of course is a joint effort of WFRC, Salt Lake County, UDOT, and UTA, that since its inception has worked on close to 100 projects in over 60 communities in the region as you work on the challenging issues of growth and development that you face at the local level. We also worked this year with our partners at UDOT to update their prioritization processes for the funding that they oversee for further integrating transportation with land use and economic development. And we supported the housing affordability work that you all have been doing as local communities per Senate Bill 34 that you're all familiar with. There's so much more under this goal, but I'm going to keep moving on to goal number two, which is effectively administer our ongoing plans and programs. In the past year, we finalized the Utah's Unified Transportation Plan. You all remember that this is the plan that identifies the priority state and local road, transit, and active transportation investments for the entire state. It is put together by all of Utah's transportation agencies. It is nationally recognized as a best practice in collaboration. And we finish that for this year. And you also know that if we do this, if we make these investments, it will produce significant benefits for Utah over the time period that we're looking at. economic benefits and increased GDP and jobs, additional transportation choices for active transportation, biking and walking, and for transit, and better air quality associated with those improvements, reducing mobile source emissions by 54% over the life of the plan. We'll also decrease the amount of time people spend in their cars stuck in traffic, and we'll reduce costs and increase safety by keeping our infrastructure in a state of good repair. Now, this work is an ongoing dynamic process. So just as we finish one plan, we look ahead to the next plans. And so we have initiated development of the 2023 to 2050 regional transportation plan and unified transportation plan. And one thing I want to highlight to you in that work that's been happening over the last year and is continuing is we're looking more and planning for what we call disruptive external forces. These are the uncertainties that can impact our transportation system, our land use, our economic development. And we're doing that through a peer group approach of bringing together experts in transportation and other agencies to evaluate things such as COVID-19, of course, market shifts in e-commerce or telecommuting, transportation technological innovations and policy approaches. So I'm just going to give you a quick snapshot of some of that input. What are the most impactful external forces that these peer groups of experts have identified? Well, there's a lot of things here, but you'll see two I'll note in particular. Internet shopping and telecommuting identified as important across all of those stakeholders. Of course, we've seen an acceleration in those trends with COVID-19, having people do things more from home. That has a huge impact on transportation. So that will factor into our planning as we go forward. Now, those peer groups also identified potential policies to accommodate those external forces. And again, I'll highlight just a few: local street design, modernization of our parking requirements and design, and then local street connectivity. There's a theme here, which is what happens at the local level in transportation really makes a huge impact on how we accommodate these external forces. We talked about more activity happening at the local level, the neighborhood level, as people are living so much more of their lives in their neighborhoods now. This is a term that Ted Knowlton has coined as the great localization. And so we have to be prepared to respond in the near term and in our investment strategies to those changes. Now, in addition to all that planning, we are also very happy to be able to provide resources directly to you in communities around the region. And last year, we provided funding for 35 projects totaling about $52 million directly to your communities. That is something that happens every year. Meg Townsend from WFRC in just a few minutes will give you an overview of the funding availability for next year that's coming up. Okay, moving right along to goal number 3 of 4, provide subject matter expertise to federal, state, and local officials and policymakers. So we work at the federal level with our congressional delegation, our national associations, and our partners to advance federal transportation policy and funding. These are the issues that Lanise Davenport on our staff keeps you abreast of. And it's important right now because the FAST Act, that's the federal bill, expires in just about a month, September 30th. So we've been working again collaboratively in this Utah spirit. We developed joint federal transportation reauthorization principles from all the transportation agencies, but not only that, also supported by the cities, the counties, and leading private sector partners. Things like long-term and timely reauthorization, sustainable funding mechanisms, and we've been able to take those forward and help influence and shape the development of that federal legislation. Of course, closer to home, we've worked with our state legislature, the governor's office, our local elected officials to advance transportation funding and policy here at the state level. This can be policy issues like working to ensure that there is greater opportunity for UTA and municipalities to collaborate together in doing transit-oriented development, or even more specific and focused things, targeted things like modifying some of the provisions related to local option transportation sales taxes so that local governments have more flexibility. Our work is technical as well. One of the key roles that WFRC plays is providing data and sophisticated modeling to add to aid in decision-making. And this year we've enhanced a lot of our technical capacity. We updated our real estate market model to more to better look at and understand the interplay between transportation investment and real estate development. We've developed the most comprehensive active transportation set of resources and plans that our region has ever had. All of this, of course, is available to the public and through our website. We participated in key transportation and growth-related projects and activities, giving modeling and analytical support and convening stakeholders and decision makers and subject matter expertise, and more and more. That brings me then to goal number four, the last of the four goals, which is always to strive for organizational excellence. And I am proud to say that again in the past year, we operated with accountability and transparency for our members and to the public. We maintained budget stability and had that transparency in our decision-making and the use of our resources, always striving to be prudent and efficient, which is even more important in uncertain economic times. We also always work to create a work environment that maximizes the health, happiness, and productivity of an excellent staff, because we do have an excellent and exceptional staff here at WFRC. You know and you love them. Here we all are outside of the WFRC offices. Remember when we could get together like that out at our new offices? Well, now it's more like this. Here's a picture of a WFRC staff meeting via Zoom, more like what we're doing right now. Of course, when that pandemic hit, our focus shifted to being on the health and safety of our staff. So we've been working remotely since mid-March, but we are working and striving to always continue to provide excellent service to our members and to the region. And what I want to do now, Mayor Silvestrini, is actually take a moment to recognize a few of our staff people. I'm going to start, and for this, I'm just going to drop my share down here. And I'm going to point out a few of our staff people. We actually have three staff members who are new to WFRC. They joined right around when the pandemic started. So some of you have had some interactions with them, but we've never had to, been able to introduce them. So I'm going to do that for you now. Josh Reynolds. Where's Josh? There's Josh. He's waving right now. Josh is in our analytics group, where he's a data scientist and a programmer. He has a master's degree in geography from the University of Utah, and he's already made significant contributions to the Wasatch Front real estate market model and our new first ever bicycle demand model. Bill Harith, where is Bill? There, Bill's waving right there, is also in our analytics group. He joined WFRC with 15 years of private sector transportation experience and master's degrees from Ohio State University in both civil engineering and regional planning. Bill also jumped right in, working on our travel model update effort, including building WFRC's first traffic volume interactive map, which is a resource for planners, engineers, businesses, and the community at large. And finally, I'm pleased to introduce you to Rosie Hernandez. Where's Rosie? Rosie's waving right there. Rosie joined also just as the pandemic hit as an administrative assistant, and she's been providing great support for several of our committees and also is working with our Transportation and Land Use Connection program. I look forward, and I'm sure they all do too, to the time that you can meet them in person. I also want to acknowledge a few of our staff who are celebrating employment milestones, who have done so over the past few months. So Julie Bjornstad, where's Julie? There's Julie waving right there. 5 years in our long range planning group. It's fair to say that Julie is one of the most talented transportation planners in the state of Utah. Scott Hess, also 5 years. Scott waving right there. Scott has the task of directing our economic development district and our community and economic development group. Kip Billings, where is Kip? somewhere. Hopefully you all can see him. I think he's on screen number two for me. 25 years at WFRC and is a nationally recognized expert in air quality. And then finally, Lovett Baumgartner, our chief financial officer. Now, again, she might be on screen two or screen three for me. I hope she's here and waving. Lovett, 25 years as our CFO. Now, Lovett, as usual, is ahead of the curve. Lovett moved to Tennessee a few years ago, as many of you know. And we wanted to keep her so bad that we said she could telecommute. Well, she's just saying to us now, what all took you so long to get with this telecommuting thing? And I suppose I should also note that I also just celebrated my anniversary, 10 years at WFRC, which is longer than I've ever worked in any job before. And the reason that I'm still here at 10 years is that I love this job. I love our region. I love working with all of our members and our partners. I'm proud of what we've accomplished over the past year and 10 years. And there is so much more to do with the challenges our region faces right now, perhaps more than ever. I do want to say I've highlighted a few of our staff in particular, but more broadly, I want to commend all of our staff. We have an amazing group of people that work in our office. They're smart, they're dedicated, they care deeply about our community, and I am so incredibly proud of all of them, and it's an honor to work with them. I know that if you were, we were all in person, you would join me in a round of applause for our staff and their efforts. So that's for our staff. And then my concluding comment will be from all of our staff to you is to say thank you to all of our members, the elected officials, and all of our partners that work so incredibly hard. We're so proud of being able to work with you and to help you over the past year and looking ahead, particularly during challenging times. We're appreciative of the opportunity to serve our community and so appreciative of your dedication and commitment to all of us and to our whole region and making it a better place. So with that, Mr. Chair, I will turn it back to you. There's much more detail in the report, but I think that probably suffices as a report on our activities and accomplishments for right now. Thank you very much.
So thank you, Andrew. And for those of you that may have joined us just a little bit late, I'm chairing this meeting today because our chair, Bob Stevenson, is on a fishing boat in Alaska. And so this is your opportunity to see how I do and to fire me before January. So, you know, you don't get me next year or next couple of years as chair. I want to let everybody know that the executive committee, I guess, of WFRC, which is like the chair and the vice chair and the committee chairs, got together and gave Andrew a performance evaluation. Actually, what we did is we reviewed the performance evaluation that Andrew did of himself, and which he's excellent at, by the way. And
at their request, let me just say.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the point of it is we have a terrific chair in Andrew, and his contract is expiring, so I have a feeling it will be extended. But one of the things that we remarked in evaluating Andrew, I just want to build on what you said, Andrew. You know, you have assembled and maintained a remarkable staff, a staff that those of us that have had opportunity and the pleasant opportunity to interact with them, you know, realize that you have got a group of people there to get that are motivated to excel and are great at helping us as local officials. And the thing that we talked to you about is that I think you foster them flourishing and advancing in their respective careers. So we're very fortunate to have you and the staff of this organization to help us do the things that we need to do as we confront the challenges of growth that our state faces and each of our communities, you know, will need to grow and adapt to. So thank you for that. Thank you for your report. And the last thing before I turn it back to you is I also just want to say I want to thank the municipal government of Vernal, Utah. As Mayor Daley pointed out, I suck at vacation. I'm actually on vacation right now and at Flaming Gorge, but I had to come down to find some decent internet. And the folks at the City of Vernal are hosting me here for an afternoon and letting me connect electronically. And I'll tell you what, they have a marvelous municipal complex here. It's really it's really a beautiful building. I walked in and saw it and said, you know, it's been a while, I guess, and maybe I didn't pay attention, but when did you build this thing? It must be brand new. And they said, oh, it's about 10 years old, you know, and it looks, it's marvelous. It's just a great place. So I want to thank them. So anyway, Andrew, I'd like to turn it over to you and Megan to talk about funding opportunities.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And I'm just going to go right to Megan to talk to you all about those funding opportunities that we have for you, our members and local governments over the course of the next year.
Thank you, Andrew and Acting Chair Silvestrini. My name is Megan Townsend. I'm the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program Manager for the WFRC. The purpose of this presentation today is to share information with you about WFRC's six programs so that you know more about them and importantly, you know how to apply for them and obtain these resources. So these are our six funding programs. There's the Surface Transportation Program, the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program, Transportation Alternatives Program, the Transportation and Land Use Connection, Wasatch Front Economic Development District, and the Community Development Block Grant Program. We give this presentation to you every year. The big difference today is that instead of a relay race with the clicker from all of the program leads, I will go ahead and tell you about all of these programs and give you the contacts for each of them at the end, just to simplify virtually here. WFRC awards about $45 million in funding and assistance to local governments every year. Transportation funding is, of course, our largest fund, but we also provide technical assistance and other resources. All of these programs are competitive programs. Typically, there's about a 5 or 10 to 1 request ratio for transportation funding, and there's more like a 2 to 1 request ratio for Transportation and Land Use Connection program technical assistance. Moving forward, so these are the three transportation programs, the Surface Transportation Program, Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Program, and the Transportation Alternatives Program. Little technical difficulty, bear with me here. Okay, so the Wasatch Front Regional Council has the responsibility to coordinate the programming of three federal funds in the urbanized area. These three programs. First, out of these, the Surface Transportation Program. These funds are apportioned to WFRC every year in the amount of about $20 million for the Salt Lake West Valley urbanized area and $10,780,000 for the Ogden-Layton area. Eligible STP project types up here on the screen. Funds can be used on any road that is a federal aid eligible facility, which is a collector, arterial, highway, or freeway. These funds can construct new roads or widen existing facilities. They can reconstruct existing facilities, improve roadway operation, and they can implement transit improvements. Some examples of surface transportation program projects are up here on this, or an example is up here on the screen. This is the 5600 West project between 6200 South and 70th South.
That's a good example. Beautiful. I want to live there.
Thanks, Mayor Burton. It's a lovely after photo. I think it's a little more fun when Ben does this part. It was a narrow two-lane road with some shoulder, sidewalk, curb, and gutter on the east side only. With STP funds, the project sponsor was able to widen 5600 West to 4 lanes of traffic, a center lane, and a bike lane, shoulder, curb, gutter, and sidewalk with lighting on both sides of the road. Advancing here to the CMAQ program, the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Program. The CMAQ funds are apportioned to WFRC every year in the amounts of $5,634,000 in the Salt Lake West Valley urban area and $3,034,000 in the Ogden-Layton urbanized area. So about $8, $9 million there in this program. Eligible CMAQ project types appear on the screen. These funds can be used on projects that improved air quality, They can expand public transportation facilities and equipment. They can diesel engine retrofits. They can do diesel engine retrofits, idle reduction, IAM programs, and alternative fuels and vehicles. They can also improve traffic flow or operations such as intersection improvements and bike and ped facilities. Here are some CMAQ program examples from past years. The final transportation funding program is the Transportation Alternatives Program. The TAP funds are apportioned to WFRC in the amounts of $900,000 for Salt Lake West Valley urban area and $500,000 for the Ogden-Layton urban area. Eligible TAP project types up here on this slide. These funds are to be used on a variety of activities related to improving transportation assets, including on and off road, pedestrian and bicycle facilities, environmental mitigation, creating or improving recreational trail projects, and safe routes to school projects. And a good example of a TAP project that highlights recreational and commuter use is the DNRG Rail Trail that runs through Davis and Weber counties. Okay, so moving from transportation funding to technical assistance resources. We have the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program. This happens to be the one I know the most about. This is the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program, which is a planning technical assistance program helping communities achieve their community aspirations and implement the Wasatch Choice Vision. This program is a partnership between UDOT, UTA, Salt Lake County, and the WFRC. This program has about $1.8 million in annual funding for TLC. And this comes in the form of technical assistance to your cities. TLC goals are to maximize the value of investment in public infrastructure, enhance access to opportunities, increase travel options to optimize mobility, and create communities with opportunities to live, work, and play. So eligible projects under the TLC program are those that are planning efforts that meet these goals. We try and keep eligibility really flexible. The TLC program wants to meet you wherever you are and then help move you through the steps toward implementation. TLC can fund plans, policies, and helps with the final implementation on the ground. So as you know, the details really matter there. We can also fund studies and analyses along the way. Planning efforts through TLC can also help set your communities up to better compete for those capital improvement funds, like I did, like the three programs I discussed prior. This year, we have enhanced funding from the CARES Act through the Economic Development Administration to provide technical assistance to local governments to improve recovery and resiliency planning. So there's some extra CARES Act funding that will be available through the TLC process. So you'll submit your letter of intent just like you always would, and we will keep an eye out for projects eligible for those funds. Was that a question or just some noise? Okay. If you have any project ideas you want to discuss, either typical planning projects that are eligible under TLC or funds that may be eligible for those CARES, that or projects that may be eligible for that CARES Act funding, please reach out to me or our TLC staff. Advancing forward to the Economic Development District, the Wasatch Front EDD is a federally recognized economic development district operating under the auspice of the Wasatch Front Regional Council. The mission is to support existing economic development efforts, promote long-term economic competitiveness, and attract federal monies to implement local plans. The district has a 12-member governing board and a 13-member strategy committee. Together, these groups guide our region's economic development opportunities and assist in the development of a regional economic development plan. The Wasatch Front EDD works with the U.S. Economic Development Administration to fund projects and support planning activities. EDA funds projects that result in high-skill, high-wage job opportunities. So funding in through this program needs to equal jobs out. To give you an idea of the type of eligible projects, this slide shows three examples of project ideas. So expanding employment, encouraging entrepreneurship, workforce training, and then a few examples of those efforts. As you can see, they range from planning to construction to workforce training with amounts that vary almost as much as 100K to 2 million. This slide highlights three of EDA's funding programs. These are pots of money that applicants can apply to. Under the program name is the amount of funding that can be awarded and the types of projects or outcomes eligible for each program. Funds are available on an annual rolling basis, and our staff, along with the EDA, would love to talk to you about, to you and your communities about your ideas. If you have any questions, please contact Scott Hess for more information. One last program here, the Community Development Block Grant Small Cities Program. WFRC administers the CDBG Small Cities Program to less populated areas of our region, including Morgan, Tooele, and Weber counties, excluding Ogden City. CDBG is funded by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and is intended to provide decent housing and a suitable living environment, principally for persons of low to moderate income. Up here on the screen are eligible project types. There's a wide range of eligible activities from safety equipment purchases, ADA upgrades, and public utilities and infrastructure. Public service providers are also eligible for funding, but only 15% of total WFRC funds can be spent on public service providers. Here are a few examples of projects that were funded in the fiscal year 2020 cycle. The fiscal year 2021 cycle will start at the How to Apply workshop this fall. A date has not yet been sent for that workshop, been set for that workshop. If you have any questions about CDBG's Small Cities Program, contact Chrissy Dahlberg at WFRC. The process of identifying and selecting eligible projects takes place every year. We initiate the project by requesting letters of intent in August, which will be due on September 30th this year. In October, we request the sponsor to prepare and submit a project evaluation concept report or an application, respectively, depending on the programs, which will be due back to WFRC in the middle of December. And then during the spring of 2021, project recommendations will be presented for transportation programs to the various committees and boards for approval, and the Transportation and Land Use Connection Program will actually make project awards in the spring. So keep an eye out for more details about WFRC's funding programs, including application deadlines. The call for letters of intent will go out on Monday. This is a lot of information, but what's important is that you know where to find us and that you submit that first letter, that initial step, which is a letter of intent. It's a very simple form. This year it's on Google Forms, so it's just a click away. And we will make sure that your project makes it to the right pot and that we follow up with you for more information on the final application component. Feel free to reach out to myself or any of the program leads identified on this slide up here if you would like help. Back to you, Mr. Chair.
Megan, let me just say one more thing, which is to emphasize the point you just made, which is, we are here to help you and to make this easy for you. So not only are we providing this information to you, we're sending it to all of your staffs as well. And if you're not sure which pot of funding to apply for, if you're thinking like, well, now with COVID, what approach should we be taking? We are here for you. Reach out to any of us. Reach out to me, to Megan, to any of us. And we intend, the point of this is to make it easy to get you to the right funding source to help you in as seamless and easy a way as possible. While I'm talking, I do just want to quickly acknowledge a few of our other elected officials that have joined us in the midst of these presentations. Councilmember Tina Cannon, Commissioner Scott Jenkins and Jim Harvey, and Mayors Aaron Mendenhall and Dirk Timothy.
We apologize for being late.
No problem.
And Mayor Don Ramsey's here too.
Welcome everybody.
And Laureen Kamalu also joined in the first 5 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you, Andrew, and thank you, Megan. And, you know, I just want to say that personal experience, Megan is great on the TLC grants, and Megan, you may be following the progress of the of our Mid-Valley active transportation planning, which is involves, you know, a number of cities in the middle of Salt Lake Valley. Megan is great, and I know Ben, work with Ben, everybody is really helpful. So when Andrew says that they're here to help, they really are. So thank you very much. So next we'll move on to a public comment. And I don't know, Andrew, have we I'm not sure how this is going to work. Have you received any written public comment?
I have not, Mayor.
Okay, I'll just open it up. If anybody is on the call that would like to make public comment, we can accommodate you. I'm not hearing any, is that correct?
That's I don't see anything in the chat either. Okay.
All right, then we'll move on from public comment and turn it over to Commissioner Jeff Scott for the report from the Transportation Coordinating Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, appreciate that. The first item on the Transcom section is a report on board modifications that were made prior. These took place at the June Transcom meeting. Those board mods were approved by Transcom at that time. They were included in your council packet for this meeting. Check and see if anybody had any questions on any of the board modifications that were approved at the June Transcom meeting. Okay, if there were any questions, we would be more than happy to go over those, Ben, but if not, we will move on to the board modifications from our meeting on August 20th last week at Transcom. And we'll turn some time over to Ben to go over those. And then that will be an action item after any questions and discussion.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good afternoon, everyone. So today, as we have opportunity to review the Transportation Improvement Program, or as it's commonly referred to, or you'll hear a lot of, is the TIP. And I need to point out that this is the last raising of the flag of the TIP 2025 TIP. We'll have one board action later today, but this will be the last time we have the opportunity to wave this banner as we move forward with a new recommendation and approval. So as mentioned by Commissioner Scott, there's a report on the board modification, but we have an action on the board modification that the Regional Council has received since our last meeting, or since the last meeting of a board of WFRC, and then the action to recommend the approval of the 2021-2026 Transportation Improvement Program. I only highlight that is because this is a transition period between the old and the new Transportation Improvement Programs. So as each one of you are aware, the Transportation Improvement Program with this board modification, in the meeting materials, there's a copy of a resolution, and then attached to that resolution is several tables that identify the projects that are being requested for this particular board modification. We will go through each one of these projects in a fairly quick manner, and if there's any questions, please feel free to ask. The first project is a project in Salt Lake County. This is a project in Sandy City. It's on 9270th. This project will realign an intersection between State Street and 150 East. Let's see. It'll also install a traffic signal at the realignment there on State Street. By realigning this intersection, we have improved mobility and safety for all the directions for vehicles, pedestrians, and bicycle. The request here is for additional funding. As the project was being developed, There was additional right-of-way that was identified that was necessary to acquire that was not anticipated in the beginning, as well as there was a significant delay to the project because of environmental issues. And so with that request, Sandy, or let me point out that the project is currently programmed at $6.4+ million with an updated project cost of more than $7.3 million. The project shortfall of $900,000. So Sandy City is requesting that we program an additional $800,000 of the Salt Lake West Valley Urban STP funds, and Sandy City will bring in an additional $100,000 to this project. That way, this project here will be able to advertise this fall or winter as it prepares. The next project is also in the Salt Lake area. This is a little Cottonwood Canyon EIS project, which was funded from the Recreational Hotspots Program to find long-term solutions to improve the safety, reliability, and mobility on SR 210. The project began in 2018 to develop alternatives to meet these goals. However, meeting these goals while meeting the needs of local stakeholders proved to be very complex. And in 2019, the project added additional alternatives to ensure stakeholders' concerns that they were heard and addressed while seeking the most viable solutions. The work for these additional alternatives includes the development, design, and screening of additional alternatives, additional public outreach, such as council meetings, open houses, and stakeholder meetings, and travel demand modeling for the screening of additional alternatives. Developing the draft and the final EIS, including a record of decision. Now, to do all this extra work, it has been identified that there's a need for additional funds, so they're requesting an additional $2.5 million for this project. These funds will come from the Cottonwood Canyon Recreational Hotspot Project. The next project happened to us back on March of 18th, 2020, when we experienced right along with the early stages of the coronavirus pandemic and earthquake along the Wasatch Front. Immediately, personnel from UDOT Region 2 and the structures were out inspecting our roads and structures for damage and immediately began work after the earthquake occurred. The efforts were originally funded through the Bridge Preservation Program. These activities consisted of three projects. The first project was emergency inspections that occurred immediately after the earthquake and emergency repairs that were completed to reopen a closed structure. The second project consisted of the repairs to two structures with the most critical damage. And the third project was for the repair of the remaining four structures that had damage resulting from the earthquake. The Utah Division of Federal Highway Administration, or FHWA, approved $2.1+ million in federal reimbursement for the activities related to the earthquake damage. This board modification will allow these federal emergency funds to reimburse the Bridge Preservation Program. The next projects are identified on the next table. All three of these projects are in the Tooele County area. The first project, located in Grantsville on a road called Durfee Street, is to construct missing sidewalk on the south side of Durfee Street between Willow Street and the LDS Chapel. This project is funded with unprogrammed congestion mitigation air quality, or CMAQ, funds allocated to the Tooele area for the federal fiscal year 2021 and was recommended by the Tooele Valley RPO at their meeting this past March. The next project, also in Grantsville, is a project on Kirk Street between Pear Street to Durfee Street. This project is funded with unprogrammed congestion mitigation air quality funds, or CMAQ funds, that are allocated to the Tooele area for the federal fiscal year 2021 and was recommended also by the Tooele Valley RPO at their meeting this past March. The third project is also in the Tooele County area in Grantsville. This project will construct a park and ride lot west of Lamb Lane and north of SR 138. This project is funded with unprogrammed CMAQ funds allocated to the Twill area for the federal year 2021 as well. And this project was recommended this past June by the Tooele Valley RPO. Now the next three tables are tables that relate to the Recreational Trails Program. Every year, the Recreational Trails Program is amended into the existing Transportation Improvement Program, and that's why the request for this board modification. Now the Federal Recreational Trails Program was authorized by Congress as part of the Intermodal Surface Transportation Efficiency Act way back in 1991. And this program has been continued through the current Transportation Bill, or FAST Act. These projects are selected through the administered through the Utah State Parks and Recreational Division. Funds may be used to provide and maintain trails for motorized and non-motorized recreational uses, including trailside and trailhead facilities, and also provisions to facilitate access for people with disabilities. Here in the state of Utah, here in the Wasatch Front, there were 44 projects in the state of Utah, totaling more than 2.2 plus million in the federal aid and 5.5 million of sponsor match. So a total of 7.7 million in new project value. Here in the Wasatch Front area, there were 22 projects totaling more than 6.3 million with federal aid and local match. Those are all of the projects that are before you right now to be modified into the existing 2025 Transportation Improvement Program.
Thank you, as always, Ben. You give an excellent update and overview on all of these projects. Does anybody have any questions on any of these modifications to the TIP program?
Mr. Chair, seeing no modifications, I move that we approve as presented.
Thank you, Commissioner Harvey. We've got a motion to approve the board modifications to the 2020-2025 TIP.
Second from Mayor Hale.
Okay, and a second from Mayor Hale. All in favor, say aye.
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 Very good. And any opposed? Nay. Very good. Motion carries. The next item on the Transcom section is the 2021-2026 TIP. This is the Transportation Improvement Program, and it amounts to about $3 billion worth of investment in our region along the Wasatch Front. We have the opportunity to review these programs in Transcom and also to receive some comments from the public. We'll go ahead and turn the time over to Ben, and he can go over the Transportation Improvement Program 2021-2026. And also some of the comments we received from the public.
Wonderful, thank you, Commissioner. I should add the fireworks going when you were presenting or introducing. This is a big deal, as we have opportunity now to approve a brand new transportation improvement program. The 21-26 TIP doesn't quite add the zing that the 2025, but nonetheless, it's awesome. It's great, and it'll be exciting as we move forward and see all of the projects that'll take place over this next year. As you're well aware, the Transportation Improvement Program is a six-year program of highway, transit, and active transportation projects. It implements a long-range plans and meets the short-range needs of the Wasatch Front with periodic modifications due to the dynamic nature of project timing and funding, hence the board modifications that take place every time we have an opportunity to meet. The list of projects in the TIP are long. They identify all of our new construction projects, our rehab and maintenance, our safety and intelligent transportation system, transit operating and maintenance, and pedestrian and bike. And I could go on and on and on. But if I show you some pictures that might highlight and illustrate in a much timely fashion and a lot more entertaining, we have our new construction projects, and there's a lot more we could go for quite a while just looking at pictures. But beautiful projects all the way along. We have our maintenance and our rehab type projects. These projects are happening all around us in every one of our communities. And we also have our, I guess they wanted to show us our maintenance once more, but then we also have our operations and our safety projects. These projects make a difference every day in the lives of those around us. We have our transit and operations. And then we have the bicycle and pedestrian type project improvements along the Wasatch Front. Every one of these projects represents millions of dollars. So when Andrew earlier was talking about our accomplishments there, of all of the projects that are happening across the Wasatch Front, thousands of jobs, the economic growth and the development in each one of our communities, our mobility and the access to opportunities, the preservation of life and of the quality of life that we're all accustomed to. So back when Transcom met in June, they gave us permission, or they gave us direction to move forward and go out for public review and comment beginning on the 27th of June, and that concluded on August 8th. During that time, we also had two virtual open houses, one on the 7th of July and the other on the 16th of July. We also took all of this information to our technical advisory committee on the 29th. And then we reviewed this information with Transcom on the 20th, all in preparation to bring this information before the council for your review and recommendation for approval today. When we began the process of preparing our public review and comment period on the Transportation Improvement Program, extensive outreach included details, emails to thousands of stakeholders about opportunities to provide public comment. There was a development of an interactive map on our website where you could click in and zero right down on a specific project, or you could leave a comment in general. And that information has all been included in your meeting materials. There's a copy of all the public comments that were received, as well as a summary to those public comments. Now, where do we go from here with these public comments? We will sit down with UDOT personnel, with personnel from UTA, and with the specific jurisdictions that these comments may be directed towards, when we will make sure that these comments are properly addressed and that they're included where appropriate. And this information will be part of the process. There is a quick theme, or as was developed by the Department of Transportation on the theme of our public comments, was safety, the considerations including the speed on each of the projects, the environmental considerations including community, economic, historic, farmland, open space, air quality, and natural environment, the racial justice considerations in transportation design and operation, art, beauty, and landscaping as part of a project delivery, and the commercial vehicle size and electric vehicle restrictions were suggested on specific canyon facilities. So with the summary of this information before you, both the Transportation Improvement Program and the conforming air quality document was prepared, presented to the public, and now we bring that back before you at this time for your review and the recommendation of approval of the 2021-2026 Transportation Improvement Program.
Thank you, Ben. again, a lot of work and time and effort has went into this. A lot of public comment has been gathered and will obviously be taken into account. And so again, we appreciate all of the work by staff to put this together. Any questions regarding the 2021-2026 TIP?
Commissioner Scott, I would just, I didn't know if I could emotionally get over the fact that the 2025 TIP was over with, but, but after Ben's description, even I'm convinced now that even the year 2020 will get better. So thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
I was just about to say it can't get any worse, but I probably shouldn't say that out loud. So thanks, Carlton. Mr. Chair, if there's no other comments or questions on the 21-26 TIP, I would make a motion that we accept the TIP as outlined.
Thank you, Commissioner Scott. Is there a second to the motion?
Second, Mayor Caldwell.
Okay, discussion to that motion. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, then that carries unanimously. Thank you, Commissioner Scott. Great report.
We do just have one more item that...
okay, yeah, that's right, self-certification, sorry.
No, you're great. Each year, we need to do a certification, and it is regarding the planning process. And so Wayne Bennion will go ahead and cover this and how that takes place with WFRC.
Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate that. Like was just mentioned, each year the Regional Council has the opportunity to certify that work being done by WFRC complies with federal requirements, and as usual, we've prepared the document that's in the meeting materials in cooperation with UDOT and UTA. And that document describes the organizational structure of WFRC, its role as the MPO and the AOG, and it also discusses the technical elements of the regional planning process and the products and a few other broader requirements that are also applicable. And so last week, Transcom had the opportunity to review this document and recommended approval. And so I would just ask if there are any questions, and if so, happy to answer those. But if not, I'll turn it back to Commissioner Scott.
Any questions on that certification process? Thank you, Wayne. If not, I would make a motion that we approve the certification that WFRC is in compliance with all federal regulations.
I'll second.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Scott, seconded by Trustee Holbrook. Discussion.
I heard you guys
have
one thing.
Yeah.
Mayor
Allen? The classic.
Yeah.
Mayor, I think you can proceed.
All right. I don't know if that's comment or background noise, but okay. We have a motion on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, that passes unanimously as well. Thank you. Thank you. Now, thank you, Commissioner Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. So now, Mayor Ramsey, want to talk to us about regional growth.
Well, hi, everyone. I turned my camera on real quick, but I'm not in a lovely place. I'm just in front of a regular door. But it's nice to see all of you and to be here with all of you. Last week, we had a regional growth committee meeting, which I want to say thank you to Tina Cannon for conducting that meeting for us last week. Here's a little update on the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision. Over the last decade, Utah was the fastest growing state.
in the nation. And we all know that. We're all experiencing growing pains. We've got a lot of growth going on, but we have the opportunity to decide how the growth will unfold and how it will affect the quality of life for all of us here in the state of Utah. Because we have a plan. We have a very good plan. The Wasatch Choice is, of course, the effort to bring together the local and regional plans into a shared vision and to help us maintain the quality of life that we love here and that's so important to us here. We also add new challenges, obviously, as we are navigating this coronavirus. And so this is where the Wasatch Choice Plan finds itself, just like the rest of us, kind of stuck in the middle of growth and pandemic. And what does it look like going forward? I'm going to turn some time over to Ted to give us an update on our partner agencies and some of how things are going there and a little bit more about what was discussed at our last meeting. And then we're going to turn some time over and ask Mayor Silvestrini if he will weigh in a little bit for us as well. So Ted, if you're there, I see your screen up, please take it away.
Thanks, Mayor. I appreciate that. And I will aim to be succinct here. So within twin challenges that the mayor has talked about and has been a theme through this meeting, the Wasatch Choice partners have gotten together to ask the question, well, how can we be helpful in the midst of this? We've just come off the adoption of Wasatch Choice. We have new legislation that's out there like Senate Bill 34. And there's so many things that local governments are dealing with right now. How can we be helpful? And what they've decided to do as a group of partners, local government representatives, so many of the organizations represented here today, is to organize ourselves into four working groups on these topics on the screen: communications, engagement, analytics, technical assistance, with the question of, are there resources that we can create, polish, or just get out there in this calendar year that would be really helpful? And we're doing this with an eye towards the League of Cities and Towns conference here at the end of September. So these are going to be things like messages, data that can be useful. And I'm not going to go into any of that, but it's really a pitch to come to that conference. One of the things that will be shared as part of that effort is information on what COVID-19 might mean for communities if and when this thing that we hate eventually winds down. I want to give you the very latest information. This is current as of this month. If you compare what we are experiencing in our communities now versus what we experienced before COVID-19, you see this pattern of course, significantly less workplace trips, a lot less transit trips, bike trips up quite a bit, a ton of additional open space activity. And we can all ask ourselves these questions of, what do we think will happen when COVID starts to wind down to these kinds of patterns? I wanted to just note two things briefly about this data. One is, even though we see workplace trips down 40% largely from telework, that we see freeway volumes only down about 10%. Why? This is part of the story of why we need transit so bad. Transit is down 70%, and that is swamping a lot of the gains that we're getting from telework. One important note. Here's the second important note, that what's the pattern here? There is this pattern of people saying, well, look, we're gonna spend more time in our home. We're gonna hop on our bike, which is in our garage. We're gonna go out to the nearest park or open space. And if you add that up, this is kind of the story of a great localization. And it's something for us to noodle on, think about as communities over time. So those are two leave behinds about this data, and that this will come back and be a theme in the League of Cities and Towns Conference. So here's the look ahead, and then I will conclude. The look ahead is League of Cities and Towns Conference. That's a joint event with Wasatch Choice and with the American Planning Association of Utah chapter that whole week. That kicks off then a round of Wasatch Choice workshops, groups of communities meeting together to talk about implementation and key issues. And then we'd love to meet with, including with some Wasatch Choice partners and chat with individual communities who want to dig into the details. So that gives you the rough time frame for these things in terms of the process look ahead. And Mayor Silvestrini, I know that you are on the board of the League of Cities and Towns. I don't know if you want to comment on the conference and some of those opportunities as we wrap up.
I'd love to, and you know, I'm not the only one. Mayor Ramsey's on the board. There are others that are on the board of the League of Cities and Towns, and I think that this is a terrific opportunity for collaboration between these two organizations. You know, fundamentally, WFRC is a planning organization, right? It's a metropolitan planning organization, and so what it's doing is planning. And I think hooking up with the members of the league is an opportunity to basically share some resources and collaborate. You know, every community in the state is facing issues of growth, you know, that are part of the of what the vision of Wasatch Choice 2050 is how to handle that, And you know, urban communities have that, but rural communities do as well. And you know, in the chat, I think Sean Milne, Commissioner Milne, you know, mentioned to me that I brought up the broadband issue in rural communities. You know, all this is part of planning urban and rural. So this is an opportunity to get together with all of the communities in the state and talk about growth issues and planning. And it's really an opportunity for our organization at WFRC to you know, show what kind of resources are available in our region anyway, but also to communicate to other communities across the state that plans like we're putting together here are, you know, not some top-down edict. They are a collaboration of local governments coming together and trying to you know, share thoughts, put our brains together to figure out how we're going to meet these challenges in ways that that are suited to each of our communities. You know, there are going to be different responses for some communities. You know, some communities will be more receptive to some kind of high density transit oriented development. Others don't have that opportunity, but they still are going to face growth, and they're still going to need to satisfy the requirements that the legislature has established for all of us with respect to meeting the housing challenge that we have. So I'm excited about this conference. I know that the league sent out a link to those of us that are part of that organization to sign up for that conference today. So I'd encourage us all to do it. And then I'm looking forward to a conference where we can actually share some of these ideas. Andrew, do you want to add anything?
Just that even though it's the League of Cities and Towns conference, what we really hope is, given the focus at that conference on the Wasatch Choice regional vision, that others will join as well. Counties, you know, obviously are dealing with these issues in the way that makes sense for you, the transportation agencies, et cetera. So that's the whole point of this Wasatch Choice. It's not a WFRC thing. It is a real partnership, and we all have to work together. So that can be through conferences. If you're willing to jump over the line and counties come to a cities conference and cities go to a counties conference, and we can all work together.
There we go. Kumbaya.
That's cats and dogs laying down together. Don't expect it.
Well, I'm going to give Commissioner Milne a chance to respond to that comment when he gives his budget report.
And I assume that was the segue right there, right?
Yeah, it was a good segue, right?
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's unfortunate, but the USAC, the Utah State Association of County Commissions and Councils, will have our conference for two plus days of that same window that the league meets, because I noticed that and thought, man, that would be a good one to be there for, because we do need more collaboration. The league and UAC just a couple of years ago actually overlapped a day or so down in St. George, and I thought that was a fantastic sign of collaboration between both entities, and well, I'd like to see more of that. So we will be up at the Homestead on the 23rd and 24th, and I'd invite those that, in the theme of things, that would like to. I think it would be great to see you up there, and we'd love to introduce you to all the county commissioners and council members and administrators up there. All right, so without further ado, but something that I think deserves, since we are a transportation-focused entity, earlier today, and I think Mayor Mendenhall may have had to get off, so I'm not wanting to take too much wind from her sails, but the Salt Lake International Airport had an unveiling today, and what a wonderful gift in an otherwise dismal kind of year that 2020 has been. Reach out to her if you feel like it, to congratulate her and the council and so many others that have made that wonderful state asset come together like it has. You know, there have been many hands that have made light work of that project, and I just couldn't be more impressed. I know that it's in another jurisdiction than my own, but it is right across the county line, and it matters a lot to transportation for our state and certainly this region. So congratulations to her and everybody that was involved with it. All right, so now over to the budget committee elements. We had a meeting earlier this month, and we have one agenda item that we're bringing to you for action. So you had in your packet a copy of the WFRC's self-evaluation of risk assessment that comes from the state auditor's office that asks every local government entity to take a look at itself and grade itself based upon some risk factors. And we're pleased to report back that we are very low risk. That's fantastic and not probably surprising, because being that we're led by an attorney, he knows how to be crafty with words and make sure that we, because he's a great leader, we all do things the right way.
Thank you.
I said that just to make you nervous, Andrew. But sincerely, he and Love It and so many others do fantastic work to make sure that we are legitimately adhering to good accounting principles. And so the one item that's before you is one of the measures that we could do to improve our self-evaluation from low risk to even lower risk would be to create and establish an audit committee to provide oversight of the entity's finances and accounting processes. Now, the WFRC Budget Committee has in the past filled this role for the council, and staff regularly consults with us, the budget committee, and relies on our input. It is the, it seems appropriate to clarify and codify that the budget committee also does serve as the audit committee to oversee the agency's internal and external financial audit functions. So therefore, before us now in this action item, the budget committee and staff are recommending that the council's accounting and administrative policy be amended to clarify and codify that role. And I would just reference you back to an amended redline version that was included in your packet. So without further ado, Mr. Chair Silvestrini, if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer.
Any questions for Chair Mellon?
Hearing none, sir, I would move that the council approve the amendments to the accounting and administrative policy as has been proposed.
Second, Caldwell.
Okay, we have motion and second. Discussion to the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. That passes.
Excellent, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. Now we're off to the most exciting report of the day. Mayor Jo Sublum, will you take it away?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm afraid I don't have a poem or any pictures for you today, but I want you to know that the ATC, or the Active Transportation Committee, is alive and well. This past month, we learned how the EDC of Utah is working to achieve economic recovery through the Active Transportation Investment. We also learned who will receive the first ever TIF and TTIF project awards for active transportation. And if that doesn't melt your butter, Nicole Prow from the Wasatch Front Regional Council stole the show when she presented the Active Transportation Interactive Map. And I've asked her to come and give you a brief introduction of this great resource. So I will turn the time over to her.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mayor. Let me share my screen here. Okay, so we have completed and published the Active Transportation GIS Data Resources Interactive Map. It's accessible from the WFRC website. If you go to, map gallery, interactive map gallery. It is a link right here, Active Transportation Data Resources, and you can also just go directly to it at wfrc.org/at-map. So easy to remember. And just as a brief introduction, over the last several months, UDOT, AGRC, MAG, we at WFRC and several others have worked to compile and update active transportation data sets regionally and statewide. And why is this important? So as you know, we've had a rich, comprehensive roadways data set, or many data sets on roadways, for a while. And we now have that same quality of data for our active transportation facilities. We've worked to integrate and store existing and planned active transportation facilities in an established and well-known system. That would be the road center lines GIS data and the trails and pathways GIS data sets. And we think that this consistent, high quality, publicly available data enables better inventory, visualization, and communication of existing and planned facilities, and better analysis of our AT network's performance. So there are several different views you can explore here. This is just a welcome and introduction. The first tab shows us existing active transportation facilities from the region. These actually are available statewide. UDOT has done a review of bike and AT facilities statewide, but we'll just focus on the region here. So as you can see, the types of existing facilities in the Wasatch Front region, the types are listed right here. Largely a lot of bike lanes, but there are some higher protection facilities and pathways. And then we'll go to planned features. So these planned facilities are from local and regional active transportation plans. The local cities that have adopted plans, the regional RTP, and also the Salt Lake County Active Transportation Implementation Plan, the Salt Lake County AHIP. So anything that's been adopted around the region is in this data set. So it's pretty extensive and cool. It's optimistic. And I think it's great. And I'm actually just gonna go back to existing first. So this is what we have now. And if all of these things are implemented, we'll click over to the future AT network. This is what things will look like in the future if we build all of the things that are identified in our local and regional active transportation plans. So really great facilities here. In this map, we also have some data resources on demand for bike and pedestrian use. So you can zoom into your area. This is a measure that was developed for the UCATS study in 2012, the Utah Collaborative Active Transportation Study. It's been recalculated and updated with all new data for the most recent years, I think 2018, 2019 data. And you can get the bike demand score with some factors breakdown as to what went into that calculation. These are all, these are calculated, the demand scoring methods developed for factors used include built environment, land use, and demographic factors that are highly correlated with bicycling activity, is what I was trying to say, sorry. So there's the bike demand and also the pedestrian demand score. They look pretty similar, but there are some differences. So we just added the second tab there for the pedestrian specific score. We have network quality measures, so comfort for different levels of bicyclists around the region on some of the major roadways. So all of our pathways obviously are high comfort, and then they're rated as 1, 2, 3, or 4 based on speed, lanes, and whether there is a bicycle facility or not. We also added the 2017 traffic volume to some of these roadways and the forecasted 2030 traffic volume. So if you're at a meeting and there's question over whether a bike facility is really needed in this specific area, you can look at those factors, the speed, the traffic volumes, the projected traffic volumes, and then make an educated decision based on that data. And last but not least, we have the Wasatch Bike Plan tab, which was developed in coordination with Bike Utah. It's just to sort of track progress on our local communities that have funded or completed active transportation plans. You can see the status of the plan, link directly to the plan document to read it and find out some more information about funding for the plan and all kinds of good stuff there. And watch this little GIF about how our region has really progressed with funding and completing AT plans in the region. So that's that. There's a lot of data there. This is more of a viewer for the data. You can explore and learn about all different kinds of facilities just by clicking on facilities and reading the pop-up. This data is also publicly available and is stored in the Road Center Lines and Trails data at AGRC. So your planners or GIS people can download it and use it. And some of the demand and pedestrian data is available through our open data site. And all of that information is in the little info boxes on the left. So if anyone has any questions, please reach out. Feel free to email or call me. I'm happy to answer any questions and just really excited that there's been such momentum in the active transportation community for this data. Thank you.
Hey, Nicole, Jeff, Silver Spring, that's an amazing tool. That is really cool. I look forward to playing around with it.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Nicole. I think this is an awesome resource and it's available to all of us. So thank you so much to Nicole and the Wasatch Front Regional Council for all of their hard work on collecting this data and to construct this amazing tool. So now back to you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you, Mayor. That was great. I really like that.
So. Is it still the best?
Yeah.
The best present? Okay.
It always is. The best. Okay, and so, Mr. Director, do you have anything else you want to tell us today?
I actually do just have a few quick things. I just real briefly on the active transportation, what the Active Transportation Committee and Mayor Schoblem are doing, the data that Nicole provided, I think is more important now than ever. Ted noted before, we've seen over 100% increase in in use of active transportation, not just for recreation, but for commuting and people getting around their neighborhoods. It's important for air quality, it's important for health. And I think that we, all of us in the region, need to be thinking of active transportation as a means of transportation. Driving, transit, and active transportation. That's the way to think about it as we go forward. And the data that Nicole showed is not just WFRC stuff. It's UDOT, it's county, it's city. So it's the unified approach to planning for active transportation overlaid then with transit and roadway. That's the way to think comprehensively about, I think, about active transportation. Okay, I would like to take a moment to actually introduce you to two people. These are important people for you to know in your local communities as you're dealing with transportation. These are the two region directors for UDOT. You know UDOT divides the state geographically into four regions, and the region directors are responsible for so much of carrying out projects in their respective regions and working directly with local communities. And we have just recently had a change in the region directors. And we have two of them with us today, the two that cover our WFRC area. Lisa Wilson is the Region 2 director and Rob White is the Region 1 director. I just want to turn to each of them to just take a minute to introduce or maybe reintroduce themselves and the area that they cover. Let's start with Lisa in Region 2.
Hey, sure. So I'm Lisa Wilson. For the last little over a year and a half, I've been up in Region 1, and it's been a really good time working with all of the communities up in that area. I'm definitely going to miss all of you. But prior to that, I was the deputy director at Region 2, so it's kind of like coming home, and I'm excited to be back working with all the Region 2 folks.
And Lisa, just to make sure we're all clear, for purposes of WFRC, your area, Region 2, covers Salt Lake County and Tooele County and Morgan County. Those are our Okay. So not so. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So Morgan is up in Rob's area. So for those of you in this group for Salt Lake County or Tooele County, Lisa's your person. She's terrific to work with, as are all the region staff at Region 2. And then in Region 1, Rob White. Rob?
That's good to be with you today. I'm excited to take on the responsibility of working with our cities and counties in northern Utah. I've been with UDOT about 24 years, most recently as the operations director. I'm really looking forward to getting out to meet all of you and to work closely on how we can make transportation function better for you and this and your citizens. So I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm open to any questions that you might have.
Rob, thanks a lot. We know that the work that the regions do is incredibly important, and the region directors and staff are really focused on making sure that they're working closely with the communities so that the projects that are designed and are built not only are as minimally disruptive as they're being constructed as possible, but even more important that they provide great mobility to the citizens as time goes on. The regions work really closely, of course, with the headquarters. Carlos Braceras, the executive director, is on with us right now. And we love working with all of the folks at UDOT. So Lisa, Rob, thanks very much for joining us today. Mr. Chair, the last thing I want to shift gears very briefly here and just note something that many of us in this country, in our community, are thinking a lot about now. And that is issues around equity and racial justice. You know, as the racial and ethnic diversity of Utah continues to increase, and as our state and our nation attempt to emerge from the coronavirus pandemic to have health and recovery, we know that we have to commit to providing equitable access to all Utahns in all of our communities to employment and to education and medical care and outdoor recreation. And the transportation system and the way we design our communities has a really significant impact on equity and on access. And I'll just very briefly personal note. I grew up in New York City. I worked in Chicago. And now I'm thrilled to be here for the past 10 years. And those communities, you know, New York and Chicago regions have a lot of entrenched segregation and poverty. And that is not something that is not the same here, or at least to the same degree. And I think that in part that means that we have an opportunity here in Utah as we continue to grow, as our racial and ethnic diversity continue to increase, to work together on these important issues. I'm bringing this up because I wanted to let all of you know that WFRC, our staff, we are going through a process of reevaluating and reassessing our own practices and our policies when it comes to issues of equity, our community engagement, our programs, to make sure that we are doing the best job we can in our role to have engagement from diverse communities and provide excellent service to all of the residents of our region. More to come on this topic, but I just wanted to note to you that it's something that we take very seriously and we're doing an internal assessment of, and look forward to talking with you and your communities and then you as a council as we go forward. That's it for me, Mayor Silvestrini.
Thank you, Andrew, and I'm pleased to know that we're all looking at those things right now. You know, that's we're all doing that, so that's good. So our next regional council meeting is October 22nd. Is there any other business to come before the council? If not, I will look for the everybody's favorite motion.
Move to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you. Stay safe, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Enjoy your
fishing.
Have a great
day, everyone.
Nice job, everybody. Good work.
Yeah, that went really well. Hey, Andrea, it says that I'm the host, and it says it's asking me if I want to assign it to somebody else.